Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
And I'm Brett. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
You can notice that I'm in my usual position. I have rid my life of the birds.
What was your execution method? Was it gas?
And there was no execution needed unless he just plummeted to his death after trying to fly away. But no, he just disappeared and left the nest behind, which we discarded in case they came back. We left it a day in case it was just like a little trip out. But here's something I didn't realize. I don't know if this counts for all nests, but the twigs are stuck together with shit.
That was nice for you, wasn't it? I don't know if that is the case with all nests.
Obviously, I didn't discard it myself. I'm not doing that.
Did you get somebody in authority to do that, didn't you?
I got my wife to do it, the highest authority of all.
The highest authority in the land, for sure.
Yeah, she saw that was disposed of.
I feel blessed,
like one
you?
With nature. A little bit like Mossman from He-Man.
Well, it's good for you, because if I was ever planning on sitting outside doing this, I'd just freeze my arse off. Uh-huh. It's pissing down and freezing cold, so there's no chance of that happening at all.
Who would you be more like, Skunkle?
I think I'd be Leechman.
Leechman, okay.
Yeah, because I used to like sticking him to the side of the bath.
Yeah, he was all right. Merman, wasn't he?
Was he not off She-Ra? But then you get confused as a kid, don't you?
I think he crossed over.
Did he? Crossed over?
I think so, yeah.
Aye.
Did he have sticky hands?
He did something. He might have had sticky hands. He may have had sticky hands. But obviously, Ram Man is the best of the men.
Apart from you, of course, today resemble Fisto with your heavy arm. Following your first jab.
My arm's all right, actually. I don't have any complaints about my arm.
I'll check in with you in the morning and see how you feel.
Right. Do you think that's when it's going to hit us?
I think you're going to try and lift up your morning cup of tea after your wife brings it to your bedside table, and you'll drop it all over yourself because you won't be able to pick it up.
You know, it could
we'll
happen.
See. Tell you what, I'll happily be proved wrong, Brett.
Well, you are, because I'm taking the Ben to school tomorrow, so there's no cup of tea arriving for me in the morning. So that's where your first incorrect assumption lies, I think. So that's not going to happen.
Have you been trying to sell anything this week?
Have I been trying to sell anything? Mm-hmm. No.
Is that frowned upon now in COVID, because you've got to pass things to each other?
I don't think it is. I think people still attempt to sell things to one another, but I haven't. I've got a guitar on the marketplace, but nobody's taken. Yeah, nobody wants it.
Any interactions with people?
Just a couple of time wasters.
Yeah.
That's all I'd say.
I don't understand why people do it. It's like they've got nothing to do with their lives and they just want to message people who are selling things with daft messages.
Yeah.
Like
it's same here, I think.
This is like everyone, I just don't understand. So, and when I say we, I'm obviously not taking any part of this because I can't be bothered getting messages off people. But so I've,
and you're a poor salesman.
I'm a very, very poor salesman. But yeah, so the baby's decided she doesn't like getting in a buggy anymore because she wants to run around everywhere now. We've been eyeing up. It's too big anyway. We don't need such a big one anymore. So we're getting a littler one. But we've been eyeing up these little kind of tricycle things that have got a handle so you can kind of push it.
Yeah.
And she's sitting
there. And she's riding it. Yeah.
She thinks she's driving it herself, but obviously she's a little dafty. So I got her one of them. She's absolutely chuffed with it, like loves it. Just keeps walking up to it and like patting it and going, wow, which is really
cool. Wow.
But it means we're trying to sell the big buggy, right? 40 quid. Someone messages today, are you still selling this? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I would like to buy it, but my baby is fat. How will I know if he will fit in it?
My baby is fat.
Yes. How will I know if he will fit in it? We're like, well, I don't know what.
How far we're talking?
He said he is 3 years old and weighs 27 kilograms already.
So did you get them to measure the baby?
No, well, Jane said, well, I've looked on the website and it says that this is for like 6 months old up to 22 kilograms. So he's probably not going to fit in it. He says,
he's too fat.
Well, will you meet me at a metro station? I will bring my son and he can try and get in it.
No.
So Jane was saying, well, it's pointless because he's already too big for it. And obviously he's only going to get bigger. So no.
that's just mental. That's crazy.
He was like, I will come to the metro station. Come and meet me. Like, no, obviously not. What's the point? It would be the most pointless thing ever. How's he going to get the kid there?
Who knows?
Well, maybe you'll walk.
Would he fit in a papoose?
maybe he should walk. The three-year-old fucking...
Maybe he should.
Heifer that he is. Should get his steps in.
I
do him some good.
Give just... a long walk, and then he'll maybe
how
fit
long,
in.
How old do kids stay in the buggies for?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember, really. But like you're saying, the kids want to get up and they want to wander around and stuff.
Because I feel like it's three. They're more than capable of walking, but it might be one of those things that you're like, well, you just get in because we need to get somewhere.
What do you think about this? We've got a dog and they've got a buggy for the dog.
Who
what
has?
Do you think about that? The wife? The wife and her mom.
A buggy? Uh-huh.
A buggy for the dog. Oh, he's getting old now, you see.
Well, so he
has to walk for a bit, and then they put him in the buggy for
just
a little bit as well.
Take him on a shorter walk?
Hey, I'm not an advocate of the buggy. I'm not an advocate of dressing up the dog in jumpers either.
Where do they take him?
They just take him to parks and stuff like that. And
there's a park at the end of your street.
Mm-hmm. But they mix it up a little bit. Sometimes it's the Marine Park. Sometimes it's the West Park. You know, mix it up. But, like, I don't know. I'm not happy with the dog's buggy. So what do you think of dogs in clothes or any animals in clothes? Because they've got jumpers in that for him, and he just looks very sad when they make him wear the jumper.
I mean, it's not natural, is it? They don't need a jumper.
It's not. I mean, monkeys are good in clothes. We've talked about that, haven't we?
We know this.
They're the best.
We know this. And you know what? If you could give a dog a choice, or do you want us to...
If he could talk, right? If he could talk, you can tell by his face he's thinking, I don't want this on. I look like a dick.
Squeeze them on, don't they? Why are only the front legs going?
Back legs are all right.
Back legs are warm.
It's a little bit too difficult to get back legs in, I would assume. I think that's the reason. But yeah, so now your buggy for the dog, I'm not in agreement with that. Like,
but like a kid's buggy, or is it a dog buggy?
To be honest, I know it's there. I haven't looked at it once because I don't agree with it. I pretend it's not there. But because you were talking about the buggies, I think I just thought I'd bring it up. Because I knew you wouldn't agree with it either.
He has a bit of homework. Have a look and see if it's just a child's buggy that they're putting a dog in.
I don't think it is. I think it's a specialised buggy for dogs.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what I think's worse. Which way around I think's worse, I'm not sure.
And also, I think they were saying that someone on Facebook was selling birthday cakes for dogs.
Pointless, so stupid.
That is just cakes? Insane.
If they're made out of just dog
food, they out,
just
give
them dog food.
Uh-huh. Stupid. Absolutely daft. Oh, yeah, on a lighter note, though, I went to the pub.
Yes, but you said it was an expensive experience.
It was an expensive experience, especially as now they're adding service charges.
Okay, well, I'm
onto
used
the
to that.
Bills. Are you? So they have all that nonsense there, do they?
Well, because everything's waiter service here, so...
Yeah. Well, that's the first time I've experienced it, and I was not happy with the service charges. Yeah, I was fuming.
But so I think what I did, probably I thought, some really grumpy fucking.
Someone no, they were all right. The staff and that, well, what I read, you know, they're just young kids, really.
Yeah.
But so I thought, like, they've added this service charge on because they give you a table or whatever, and you can't move. You can't even stand up.
Yeah.
Because right? Obviously the virus will get out your face.
They give you
and
a little,
over everybody.
A little bottle to piss in.
Not quite. But they did put what under cover. You know, which would have been fine if it was raining, but it was freezing. It was freezing, okay. Right? And blazing sunshine, just a couple of yards away from where we're sitting. But obviously, we weren't allowed to move, so we were like looking at the sunshine, thinking if we could just move it a little bit, we'd be fine. But the wife asked about 100 times if we could move, and obviously not.
What's the deal? Because the tables here have got to be like 3 meters or 2 meters apart from each other.
Yeah, we've just got your own table, basically. I mean, they were well apart and stuff like that. And they've got like this barcode on the table. You just scan it and get your drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought, right, here's me trying to be clever, which is never going to work, but there you go. So I was thinking, right, I'll order 2 drinks.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what I'll do. The service charge, didn't they? By 16 pence. Because they had to carry over a little pint in a plastic cup. So that cost 16 pence.
Really?
For them to bring that extra pint over, right?
That's
disgusting. See? I'm fuming. Still haven't calmed down.
I can tell.
So then, but then we went to Witherspoons. No service charge in Witherspoons. Say what you want about that man, you know. Not very nice mantery stuff. I'm not bothered about that. No service charge. But there was a good guy in there with our spoons because you get the characters in there. He looked like the Elvis's manager, the Colonel. He was dressed like him. And I'm sure he was ringing Alcoholics Anonymous sitting in the pub.
Ah,
exactly. But he was going there. He was on the phone. He was saying, I don't like lager. It's a girl's drink. Right? I don't like it. I'm old school. I'm getting on in years, but I'm old school. I was brought up on beer, me. That's how he was saying.
I didn't think that was that long. It sounds like he was on like a day chat before he met up with someone.
What, he was telling them the drinks preferences. I just assumed it was the alcoholic people. That's what I think.
What do you think all of those people have been doing?
Which people?
All the people who are in pubs all the time. What do you think they've been doing?
I think they've just been getting pissed in the house. That's what I think. And possibly going slowly mad. Like Freddie Mercury. That's what I think.
Mosquitoes.
What do you think they've been doing? I hate mosquitoes.
I thought it would be a chance for them to clean up.
Change their lives.
Yeah. Maybe instead of wearing a leather jacket that's now hanging so low, they've been wearing it for so long, it's so stretched. You know what I mean? Those leather jackets where the pockets are like hanging down from their knees because they've been wearing it for
I love the drunks, mate. I mean that's what makes South Shields a great place.
Most of the time. Like no, it's, you don't it's want great any interaction with them.
Like, sometimes you do. Sometimes
I know,
it's
but it doesn't always work out well, does it?
No, not all the time. Not when you start fighting with them, like you, Cliff.
Don't fight with anyone.
Of course, anyway. You don't. You're a man of peace and love, aren't you?
I am peace and love. Peace and love. Oscars was on this week, last night or whatever it was. I thought they were saying the lowest TV audience for the Oscars ever. Well, of course it was, because it wasn't an actual event. And there's about six films been out in the last year.
So. That's it.
What I'd rather watch is Star Trek The Next Generation, which you've made us watch this week.
Indeed. Yes, I did make you watch that.
Why did you like pick it? This? Tell us why you
picked it. Well, during the lockdown, I watched all of this series, The Next Generation, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also, my wife watched it as well. Originally, she was calling us a geek. What are you watching this for? It's incredibly geeky.
I suppose people say that.
They do think that, definitely. But then after that, she was right into it and stuff. So she's a geek as well. So yeah, I watched it all during the lockdown. But I love Star Trek anyway. I loved it as a kid. I used to watch this, you know, I think it was on about 6 o'clock, wasn't it? After Neighbours and that.
Yeah, six, I think, on BBC Two.
BBC Two, yeah. Uh-huh. So you would watch like the cartoons and the kids stuff. And then you'd watch Neighbours and then you'd switch over to BBC Two.
Uh-huh.
And watch this or The Outer Limits or something.
Do you watch other, have you watched other Star Treks like throughout the years?
Yes, I've watched all of the 60s series. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's not a long one. I think it's only on for three seasons or something because it got cancelled in the 60s. Okay. But I've watched all of that. I've watched all of the Enterprise stuff. I watched all the films.
It's mad that it got cancelled when they kept making massive films.
Yeah, well, it got cancelled. And then it got like a cult following after that when they started putting reruns. Well, they started putting reruns on. And then Star Wars was massive.
Okay.
So they brought them back with the films and things.
Okay, instead of making a new series, they made films. All right, I've got you.
Aye.
Well, I remember watching this when I was at school, same as you. But then I never watched any other ones. I was never that arsed. Like, I quite enjoyed this when it was on, but I was never, nothing, whether I was in my 20s and Deep Space Nine or whatever came on, I wasn't that, I've never bothered watching any of them. And I've never really thought about watching these again or anything like that. But, when I put it on, it was one of those things where I kind of, remembered the opening credits and remembered, obviously the actors and the characters and stuff like that. So it hasn't really, gone from my memory or anything over those years,
because
I obviously must have watched a lot of episodes when it came out. I can't remember this one. I would have seen it at the time, and it feels like one that would have stuck in my mind, because it's quite not what I was expecting, or not what I think people would be expecting from it. This is an episode called Conspiracy that we're talking about specifically, which is the penultimate episode of the first series. And it's brilliant. It's very short, 40 minutes. I was surprised.
Yeah.
And I used to, I've been watching Westworld, like I said, and stuff like that. And, modern, it's so much difference between modern TV shows. Westworld's long and slow and ponderous, and it's on for an hour and a half, and the story hasn't really moved anywhere. And you don't really know what some bits were for. This is 40 minutes long, and it's like a feature film in that time.
It is, yeah. They cram loads of stuff in, don't they? And it just, I think because of that, it whizzes by, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just seems to go so quick. But I think even people who like Star Trek don't, some of them like this episode and some of them don't like this episode because it's not very Star Trek-y. Do you know what I mean?
Do you want to explain what it's like?
Completely different. Well, I'll give you the premise of the episode, because I don't think many people would have probably watched it. So this... I've dropped my things.
Oh, no. Oh, you bugger. Sound like Steve Bruce.
Oh, you bugger.
Oh, did someone see the bacon?
So on this episode, what happens is Captain Kirk, he receives a warning from an old friend. And the Enterprise has got to return to Earth to stop an invasion from taking over Starfleet Command. Mm-hmm. And that's the basic premise of it. But what it is, it's a bit more like the horror of the 80s. It's a bit more like Cronenberg-y type of stuff with the things that go on. Yeah,
so it's all his message from his mate is not quite straightforward, is he? He's like, it's a secret. You've got to come and see us on this planet, and I'll tell you in person because I can't tell you over here because I need to make sure.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. And what it is that he tells them, him and a few other people tell them that basically there's a race that are trying to take over, but they're like shapeshifters, so you don't know if it's a real person or if they've been taken over by this alien race.
Yeah, well, he doesn't give them like the ins and outs of it or anything. He just says that there's something's up. So he gets a sort of recall of his mate, who's called Walker, I think.
And he's good, isn't he?
He is good. But Picard gets the call while he's asleep, and everybody else is working.
The rest of them are organizing this like mission to another planet, and like it seems quite serious. It's so serious that the Starfleet command are aghast that they've cancelled it, but the captain just having a kip.
Yes, do you think he's just gone, I'm sick of this, I'm off to bed?
You would be forgiven for think if you thought that he didn't exist if you just watched the first 10 minutes of this, because it seems to be existing perfectly fine with Commander Riker in charge.
It does have to be fine with him. So anyway, for some reason Picard's done off, hasn't he, and decided to have 40 winks and stuff, and he gets woken up by this secret order, which is for the captain's eyes only, to meet his friend and a couple of other captains on this other planet. So we've got to divert to there. And he's in this very fetching dressing gown, is Picard, isn't he? I mean, silk dressing gown, very short.
Yes.
Very short.
Sure. Skimming the buttocks.
He is. Now, the thing is about Picard, right? I've watched all of them, like I said, and on one of the episodes, he gets sent to a pleasure planet.
I've seen that. I remember that.
Have you seen that one? So, like, it's just like naked people, well, you know, half naked people on this planet. And he's wearing the tightest shorts I've ever seen in my life. And he has what I can only describe as an anaconda-like penis. I mean, he's very well endowed,
okay,
Picard. So, I mean, I'm glad the camera didn't show you further down, because you would have seen it swinging.
He'd probably be peeking out the bottom of his dressing gown. One thing that I thought watching, because obviously it's Patrick Stewart, Sir Patrick Stewart, who's since gone on to be something of a legend, like just him. Obviously, he's been Professor Xavier in the X-Men films and stuff, which obviously brings him to a huge, huge audience. But I think for most people, he's just known as being Patrick Stewart, like rather than, and you know, he's a Shakespearean actor and all of that. But I thought watching this back, which is probably the reason he's in it, but when I was 14, 15, whatever, I didn't really know. And also, he wasn't a household name when he was
going
to this, was he? He's
playing he wasn't a big star.
Jean-Luc Picard with like Shakespearean intensity. Like, I think
he is.
Watching it back, you kind of get that from him. Whereas at the time, I didn't really notice.
No, you do, for sure. I think, obviously, everybody who watched Star Trek in the 60s loved Kirk and stuff like that. And I think he's trying to do something a little bit different, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's very stern man, isn't he?
He's not like, he's very serious, but he's not like, he's not overacting like
Chatton. I mean, he's a brilliant actor, isn't he? He's a brilliant actor.
I think the overacting's reserved for Riker in this series.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, there's a one after this, which is the wife's favourite one, which is called Deep Space Nine. And there's another captain in that. And he's almost like copying Patrick Stewart in that one. He's sort of, well, in fact, he's a bit of a mix, actually, because some of the time he's like Shatner and some of the times he's like Patrick Stewart. I can't remember the guy's name. He's another sort of guy who's like an actor from the stage and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't mind Shatner. I like Shatner anyway. I like all Shatner's overacting kind of stuff. I guess that they're just two very different actors, aren't they? But right, he's gone out to do loads of stuff, hasn't he? I was talking to a girl at the school who does the yoga, because they do that type of thing in schools now.
Okay.
And she said she met Patrick Stewart in the the theatre that your kid used to work in, the customs house?
Oh, yeah, he came to do, to do that South Shields lecture or whatever. He came to do that
yeah.
one, yeah, I remember.
I think he's been to Shields a couple of times because yeah. I think his picture's in Coleman's. I think he's having fish and chips in Coleman's. But she said he was very small. He wasn't a big bloke or anything. He was quite a small guy. So you don't, I mean, he's got a big booming voice and stuff like that. You just expect him to be quite big, I think, don't you?
Yeah, he's great. So you see him do that. His mate Walker is almost like the same. You know, like he's the same kind of intensity, and it feels, you can tell something's a bit weird with him. Like it's not quite right.
Yeah, I think that's true. He's got very starey eyes, hasn't he?
So anyway, he nicks off from his mates, who obviously are missing him, considering they think he's just in bed anyway. So he nicks off and goes and sees his pals, and our old mate Michael Berryman is one of the other captains that he has this little meeting with.
He does. He's been full when we're around like birds.
He has,
feather.
Hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He has.
He's good.
Strange
though.
How that happens.
I like him.
Oh, he's a good actor, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hill survives.
I read on IMDb today that he liked his costume so much he kept it on at home.
Did he?
His mask.
What about his blue face?
His blue face?
He kept the whole stuff on.
He said he liked his blue face so much he kept it on at home.
Nice. So I think the idea is that the captains they assume that there's some kind of conspiracy going on. They don't know what's causing it, or at least they don't tell Picard what's causing it, but they know something's up because they've been getting strange orders and people have been disappearing.
Yeah.
And at first, Picard's like, nah, I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the evidence and stuff? So he goes back to his ship. And his mate's ship blows up.
Yes, as soon as he's back, he sees that it's blown up. So they call the...
So that convinces him, doesn't it, that it's true?
But he won't tell anyone what's up because they've said, like, you need to keep it to yourself because you don't know who's, like, going behind your back or who's part of this.
You can't trust anybody.
So,
it's a bit like the Thing kind of stuff going on as well, isn't it?
So he gets in touch with the bosses back on Earth and says... Mm-hmm. Lads, I've got to come and ask you about something. So forget this mission, whatever it was they were sorting out. I don't even know because I've been asleep. But it's not as important as this. So we're going to come to Earth and we'll see you. And there's these three like admiral types who are very, very strange. Like really, really weird. That main guy is really, really weird. Can't put my finger on why, but he's a strange fella.
Well, I think that they're all acting strangely, aren't they? Because, and obviously, by this point, you don't know why they're all acting strangely. Mm-hmm. But one of them, one of the admirals, an admiral called Quinn, he beams up, which is the greatest thing in Star Trek, I think, the beaming.
I think the beaming.
I love the beaming. Yeah.
It's unnecessary for him to beam up. He just said, I'm coming to see you.
I know. Oh, it is a little bit unnecessary, but there is a reason why he does it, because he wants to see the doctor. He doesn't go for Riker at first. He wants to see the doctor rather than him. But he beams up to the Enterprise, and he's carrying this kind of parasitic creature in a box with him, isn't he? And he's a very old fella.
So Kirk just said, Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, he said, we'll be with you. And they're going, why don't you come tonight? We'll put a dinner on. And he goes, all right, I'll see you in an hour. And this one, who's a fella that, I don't know, he's known. He's friendly with this one. He goes,
yeah, he knows who he is.
Oh, well, in the meantime, I'll just come up and see you.
He's saying, I want to check out the ship and stuff.
Already
Picard's
suspicious.
Like, yeah, but Picard, by this time, he's thinking, something's definitely up, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They seem a bit weird or whatever. And they've got the ship's counsellor, Counsellor Troy, I think she is. She's like an empath, and she can sort of sense people's feelings, whether they're hiding something. And I think there's a part where she says they're definitely hiding something.
Yeah.
So that's why I let them up on the ship. And after a short conversation with them, he's convinced this guy's not who he who he says he is.
But Pickard's already gone down. He goes down. He's like, right.
No, he doesn't. He goes down after the guy comes on.
He comes up, but then he's like, right, I'll look after you. I've got to go see you on Earth.
So he says to Riker, let's try and get the doctor to do a scan on him or whatever to see what's up with him. So Riker goes in, tries to convince the old man.
Really funny. This guy's about 100
years old. This is the greatest thing.
He's like, he's like, oh, well, what? He's like, no, you will join us. And he's like, trying to convince him. And he's like, well, no, mate, like,
I was going to give this to the doctor, but now that you're here, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
A tiny little plasticine dragon thing.
A plasticine dragon thing. And what ensues is probably the greatest fight in TV history.
Absolutely amazing, because this 100-year-old man just throws Riker about, like throws him through the doors and stuff.
He's like, does.
Pick him up. Him, and then he does it with the next person he sees as well.
But the thing that I liked was the incredibly high kicks that they were both doing to each other. That's like the highest. Even if they had made contact with these super high kicks, it wouldn't have hurt, because your foot's right up there. It's not going to do now. And I don't know if you noticed this while this fight was going on, but there is two of the worst body doubles I've ever seen in my life. The old man's body double's terrible.
Yeah,
and it stays on his face for ages. They're not trying to hide it on him. But it's a wonderful fight, isn't it? With lots of high kicks in there.
I think that's the other thing, that when you're watching this, there's no shame that the effects and stuff aren't great. It's not quite like 60s Star Trek. But like, that's bad. And I think the effects that they come to use when it goes on a bit, they're probably all right for a TV show at that time, but they're not very good, are they? Like, they're not.
Well, the body double certainly aren't. I mean, it's like, it's really poor, isn't it? But it adds to it, I think. It just makes it a little bit funnier. I enjoy stuff like that, when you see
funny
stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely funny. So as this is going on, Picard's back down on Earth, and guys are acting a bit weird, and they invite him to a grand dinner, and they serve him a bowl of worms.
For absolutely no reason.
No reason. Whatsoever. Like, they eventually want to tempt him to join their ways, which is essentially allowing the tiny plasticine dragon to burrow its way inside you via the mouth, and then it'll take over your body, and you'll basically your body becomes the vessel for this alien, tiny little alien thing to live.
It's a parasite, isn't it?
But you don't know, like, they're saying they're not bad. Basically, they're going, well, we're not bad, guys. We just want to be in your body. We're not going to do anything bad.
Yeah. But that's I'm sure that's what a parasite would say, wouldn't it? Because they need a host, don't they?
I know, but so the funny thing is,
it's fine.
They don't wait. They're like, right, we'll have you for a banquet. Sit down. There's a bowl of worms. Like, and they're like dropping them in their mouths, like, really theatrically.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
Well, that's what is it? Do you think he's going to sit down and be like, actually, yeah, you know, you've got fucking thrown some worms on for us. They're now going to say no.
Yeah, I mean, that is a bit weird.
I think they'd be better off giving him a nice meal and explaining it to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the confirmation for the audience that these people are the aliens, isn't it? That's what it is, and that's the only way that they've worked out how to do it. But it is funny where he just seems to be given a bowl of worms for no reason whatsoever. That's just excellent. I love that.
Back
and
on
all
the
squirming around in that and in the bowl. Oh,
back on the back on the Enterprise. Is it the Enterprise in this? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, the Enterprise D.
Yeah.
If you want to be technical.
Back in the Enterprise, they've finally captured the old man, and realized that he's got a little tail coming out the back of his neck. which is the parasite's tail, popping out at the back of his neck, just to confirm, if you've got one of them there, you're probably one of the bad guys. So,
yeah.
Next thing we know,
who's this is a good bit. Well, this is a good bit because Riker wakes up and you don't see anything after that. It cuts away after that.
Yeah.
So you don't know whether Riker is infected with one of the parasites or not, do you?
No, and then, it turns cuts back up
at the meal.
He turns up at the meal and they're like, aha. And they have a little look at his neck and he's got the little till. And they're like, nice one. You weren't who we were expecting. We were expecting Dr. Beverly Crusher, but we've got you, number one. That's all right.
You'll do.
So he sits down and they're like, took into some worms. We've got some spare. And he has a bowl of worms. And then, then it's a good bit. This is where it gets really, really good.
It is. And then the action kicks off because Riker is just pretending. And what's happened is Beverly Crusher, the doctor, has sort of faked this blue thing on the back of his neck.
Made out of plasticine and put it on the back of his neck.
So he's human after all, and a big fight ensues, doesn't it? There's phasers all over the place, yes. People are getting shot left, right, and centre. And then one of the old fellas runs off, and then we'll have a new body double who's very fast and athletic running down the corridors of Starfleet really quickly for an old man. Also, so the chasing.
It's really easy to beat these aliens.
And it shouldn't be easy, should it? Because they're like, I mean, apart from the blue thing in the back of the neck, right? You shouldn't really know that they're
infected. Saying they've given it away by eating the worms.
The only way that they know is by that their memories aren't that good, are they?
You test them with remember when your Chris came over for Christmas that time? And he's like, yes, I do. He's like, ha, doesn't even have a relative called Chris. He's definitely not a real modern.
Remember when you hit us with that big stick in junior school? It wasn't me, it was my brother. They do have the flaws, the parasites, I would say, don't they? They do have their weaknesses.
Well, they shoot them with the phasers and that's it. They jump out of the body. That's it.
Well, I'm getting to that. We have getting to that because when they do shoot them with a phaser, you're right, those blue things pour out of their mouths in another sort of Cronenberg way. And when they actually catch up to that athletic old man and shoot him, the parasite comes out of his mouth and goes under a door. Mm-hmm. And then you see the guy in the chair who was in it a couple of times, actually. A couple of these characters have been in before.
Yeah.
He's called Remick. And in an earlier episode, he was like saying, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you know, like a blink and you miss it type thing. And he's like sitting in the chair, isn't he? Waiting for the blue.
So he's back in the... He's not one of the old admirals, but he's also at the dinner. He's been knocking about.
Yes.
He's been knocking about with them. And so then you see it like crawl into his mouth, which is like the effects are, but they're like simultaneously good and bad, aren't they? Like they're.
Aye.
It's quite good that it's happening, but also doesn't really look that good.
But it's just a bit weird when he welcomes it in with his mouth and that. It is like horror, isn't it? Especially like, you know, 80s horror of like,
it's a bit like the fly and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is. And I think this last part is the bit that like diehard Star Trek fans don't like because Picard and Riker don't really behave in a Star Trek kind of way.
They just shoot the shit out of him until his chest collapses.
They also strip the flesh from his face. They're shooting him in the head.
then move on to his chest, at which point the alien thing bursts out like alien style.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And his head explodes.
And his head explodes.
Whereas if you watch Star Trek and that, they're supposed to even, I guess, if a creature has taken over, you're supposed to communicate with them or whatever and talk with them. But they don't in this instance. They just shoot their shit out of it, don't they? Strip the flesh from his face. They do just that.
And then
it's Pickard's face as well, as it's awesome. His face, he's like, he's so disgusted by by then, the fact that this guy swallowed this blue thing.
But when it's finished, they just like get on with it. That's it.
Just get on with it. So yeah, it's a bit shocking, especially if you've watched like previous stuff before. Like I remember watching it during lockdown. I watched it all the way through, and Star Trek, like I've just said, it's very nice and stuff like that. And that it's always about, you know, trying to talk to different races and stuff like that. Like I say, even if you've been taken over by them. And then for all of a sudden for this episode to come on and they're stripping the flesh from,
do you see it
from
like
people's faces.
First, it's like Jason and the Argonauts or something like that.
It is. It was shocking. And wouldn't you know it, the BBC cut it out.
Yeah.
The bastards. That's why we didn't see it.
Yeah. That might be why I can't remember the episode. Because obviously if I'd seen that, it would have like stuck with us.
Of course it would have. Aye, but so they cut it out, which is shocking. But I like the ending as well, because Mr. Remick, he's managed, or what they find out in the end is that he's managed to send a Hormann beacon to these parasites, planet and stuff like that, telling them where Earth is.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be an invasion of these things at some point, which never happens.
Probably. How do they even fly a spaceship of tiny fucking like insects?
I have no idea. They're gonna take over other visitors.
Yeah, but why? The job done.
Job done.
Well, they're already in for the people, and that's the aim, right?
It is the aim. But all the parasites die is to shoot the mother creature out of Remick's stomach anyway, don't they? So. I don't understand. Possibly the parasites on the planet are immune to that type of stuff.
Maybe.
They're fine. Who knows?
Because they have all died, and that's why it never happens.
Maybe. Because there is a creature on Star Trek who is a nice parasite, you see. It lives up, there's a Deep Space Nine. There's a girl on Deep Space Nine who has a parasite in her. So she's like her, and she's the parasite, and she has all of the memories of the previous owner of the parasite and stuff. So this must be the bad version of them, I would guess.
That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, yes. But did you like it?
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. Like, I don't think I'll watch more, but won't happen, but it's the type of thing that if I was flicking through the telly, which isn't the thing anymore, I would stop on it.
I would
keep it on. Yeah.
Yeah. Does your dad like Star Trek? Because I saw that you messaged your dad and said, I think you'll like this one.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And I think we used to watch this together. I think he's probably watched some of the other ones, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, I think my dad'll like this. I don't know whether he'll remember this episode, and I would imagine it isn't one of the ones that you would be one of
normally
his favorites.
Watch. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's good. I'm pleased to watch it. So yeah, Star Trek: Next Generation, episode 24, series 1. If you haven't seen it, we recommend
Conspiracy.
It.
Mm-hmm. Get it watched.
So what else? You got a quiz for us?
I do have a quiz, actually. I do have a quiz this week. And this week, it's about TV controversies, Mr. Cliff, because this was a controversial episode that was kind of banned by the BBC.
Okay. Let's do it, then.
So that's what it's about. First one, which band caused a stir by firing blanks from a machine gun over the heads of the audience members while opening the 1992 Brit Awards? Cliff?
KLF.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
KLF.
It was KLF, yes. Have you seen that? I remember reading it in the paper.
I've seen it, happened. I love the KLF. Amazing.
Even though the man's a nutcase?
Both nutcases. Absolutely love them.
I like Doctor Who, because that's them as well, isn't it?
Doctor and the TARDIS. Yeah.
That's right, I like that. So, yes, you're right with that. It was the KLF. Second one, a Ford Inn on which BBC children's programme was revealed to be rigged in 2006.
Oh, I don't know this.
Because there was a big scandal about premium rate numbers and stuff like that. I think Richard and Judy got done for it. Where they were getting people to ring in, and it was just like all fixed. The winner had already been chosen.
And what's this BBC, did you say?
BBC Children's
TV program. What, 2006?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say Blue Peter, because I saw you
right. Right? Well, that's the answer.
Oh, is it?
So well
what
done.
Was it? What was it?
It was a competition for UNICEF or something like that. I don't know what the prize was, but the computer systems failed, and they just said to some person who was visiting the set, we'll just say you won. So, yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
Okay.
There you go. Oh, you like this one, and I haven't made this one up either. Called perhaps the most tasteless situation comedy ever, Heil Honey, I'm Home sent us on which couple and their Jewish neighbors?
Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun.
Yes, it is. And that's a real thing. It's on YouTube as well.
Who's in that? Awful. Anyone? Is it?
No one that I know. Okay. No one that I know. Surprise, surprise. I don't think it was Aid.
Yeah, sounds awful.
Hell's Angel, or the original title, Sacred Cow, was a documentary criticizing the practice of which newly anointed saint?
Eh?
So, a saint, newly anointed saint. Right? Do you want to read the question again?
Has there been any saints?
Yes. This particular saint was only announced as a saint in 2017.
I don't know, but I've got to say Mother Teresa, but I wouldn't know.
Well, that's the answer.
Okay.
So well done.
Why were people angry at her?
Well, I watched a documentary, actually. It was interesting.
She got a really big reason that way.
The reason that they were critical of her, she was saying that she wasn't political or anything, but she would meet, you know, corrupt leaders of various countries just so she could get donations for them. So she would, like, be associated with them, I think, is the word. And what she would do was obviously take the money from them. But the hospitals that she was running in India and stuff like that, nothing improved. There were still just places for people to go to die. Do you know what I mean? So it didn't benefit the sort of hospital that she was running or anything. Nothing like that, sort of those type of things improved.
Okay.
She was just, I don't know what she was doing with the money. Who knows? But there you go.
Okay.
Okay. Pope Town was a banned animated TV series which was heavily criticised by the Catholic Church and was never aired in the UK. But who starred in that animated TV series?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
I will give you a clue.
Okay, go on.
It's someone that we like a lot.
Like a lot? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Georgie Hadji.
Close.
Hope Town.
It was Bob Mortimer.
I was going to say, he was my next guest. I've never heard of it.
It's on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet or anything, so okay. I don't know what it's like. But yeah, it was. I think they've made 10 episodes and never aired any of the episodes on TV. So yeah, it's on there. There was a couple that were worth a mention. It is a cartoon, I said, animated. You know, if you listen.
Oh, yeah, you did, yeah.
There was a few worth a mention, but I didn't write any questions for them. One of which was Wank Week, which was a week on Channel 4 about various programmes about masturbation.
About them, so more like for masturbation.
Well, the first programme that they were going to air was like a community of people, a gathering of people, all masturbating at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So that wasn't allowed to be on. And the other one, have you heard of this program called Sex Box?
Yes, I've seen that.
Have you?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of it before. Think. They go into this box. You don't see them having sex, but they go into the box and they have sex. And then they come out and talk about what they've just done.
It's not the same thing that
Mariella Fossdrop.
Yeah, it would be.
Tell her all about it.
It was not, that's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of one's work. a couple who were having some difficulties, maybe the spark's gone out of their marriage or whatever,
right,
would go and see, what's the name of that woman? Tracy Cox, sex expert. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
And she would
is
be
she
like,
on that program with, where people, you can only see their knobs?
I don't think so. I don't know. I've never seen that.
You know, where some woman's got to go, oh,
yeah,
I like that.
I know
that
what
knob.
You mean. Yeah. And then yeah, they show their face and like, oh.
I prefer the knob.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, this is one where they would basically they'd set up like cameras in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the husband would be like, well, she just gets her pajamas on and we never mm-hmm. really do anything. She goes to bed early, reads a book or whatever.
She's always got a headache.
Yeah. And she would be like, well, why don't you try putting some whale sounds on and a candle and giving her a little massage and see if that helps? And she'll say to her, if he tries the whale sounds trick, maybe just go uh-huh. along with it and see what happens. And then,
well, because I've mentioned it,
because if you don't, he's going to think, I don't know what I'm on about.
Uh-huh. And then why don't you get dressed up as a gladiator from, you know, ancient times? Why don't you try that? Why don't you just try a loincloth and wet yourself with it?
So yeah, and then you'd watch it on the secret cameras and, you know, you'd see whether she brushed them off or whatever, or if they then eventually went and had some
would
sex.
You be happy with her brushing off? Probably happy with the brushing up, wouldn't he? Right.
Is that the end of it?
One of the music. That's the end of that.
Yes.
One.
So the music. This is Spectre.
Yes.
By Jay Tennant. It's good.
It sure is.
Thanks
it's
for
really
listening,
good.
Everyone. Thanks to Jay for sending it in. Yeah. Enjoy it. Listen in. Speak to you next time. Bye.
Lovely stuff. Bye.
See you later, everyone.
Like a killer and a terror. killer in a dead end show. I'm sorry to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.